Fergal Darcy. Today
FM. Delighted to be here with 21 Pilots in Dublin. Finally again, Josh and Tyler, lovely to have you guys here. It's going to be a hell of a show tonight. Now, since the last time I saw you guys in the Bandito tour, that was in the Brixton Academy, and you've added stuff to the show, which is huge. What can we expect tonight?
Well, Brixton was awesome. We loved that show for sure. You know, I think that for this tour, we kind of had in mind a little bigger rooms. And so there is a bit more production because of that to fill it out. And I think Tyler's gotten even better at singing since then. And so that, even though that was some of the most amazing singing that I've ever heard at the Brixton show, tonight I think is going to be even more.
Yeah, you really kicked the falsetto. I don't know how you do it. You have such a range on you. And it's amazing, like, because I know that you produce, like, I know when you did your first show, you kind of went underground and developed a show. I never heard any other band doing that. And it's just the beauty that you came overground then is boom, and this, like, a whole new concept of what a concert should be. I read in Old Press recently that there is a culture of perfection with you guys. And I know that you would say, Tyler, that, you know, the day that you come off stage and you're not trying to fix something else, that'll be a sad day for you, because that's one of your favorite hobbies.
Yeah, I think that Josh and I have always strived for making sure that everyone who comes to our show, one, knows that they're getting everything that we have to offer. There is a, I don't know, a slight danger in the repetition of playing a show every night, that if you don't strive for that perfection, if you don't look for those tiny things that you can get better at, then it starts to become just a motion that you do. And I think that a room full of people are smart enough, they can pick up on that. And so we should never be in a position where, you know, anyone who comes see us play sees us just going through some sort of motion. You can guarantee that anytime you see us play, there's something about the set that we're doing tonight, even the tiniest detail, that we were trying to perfect from the night before that we didn't get right. So
I think that's important, particularly when it comes to artists like you guys, because you're always reinventing the wheel. And this is one of the most important things. Like, even when I came back, I went to the launch of the Trench album. That was like a couple of weeks after I'd seen the Brixton show, and that happened in the Forbidden Planet here in Dublin. And I remember going down and just seeing all these kids down with the yellow tape on, and they're really taking the Trench. It's a big album for them. It is that Easter egg culture we talked about. It's that whole Ready Player One culture of, you know, how many things can I hide in here? And recently we got dropped in with Chlorine, so we have Ned now.
Yeah.
So I've seen Ned appear on walls in graffiti, which is huge in England. I've seen him appear as snowmen in the Ukraine. Explain to me the concept of Ned.
Yeah, Ned is, we like to believe he's a friend of ours that's been bugging us for a while to be in a music video, and he's not on tour with us right now. He just showed up for one song for a music video. He did his work, and now he's off living the dream. We paid him thousands of dollars, but we still hang out with him, even though he's a bit demanding with his contracts and everything. But that music video specifically, it was fun to, I guess what it is that I was working through in that song, I'd always pictured some sort of, I pictured Ned. He kind of like came to me as I was working on that song, really wrestling with this idea of using music as, well, one, it's something that I love. Two, I also, it's my job now. And that's a tough thing to balance. Sometimes that thing that you loved becomes the thing you are required to do. And I think that Ned kind of showed that struggle of getting that balance perfectly right.
I think there's a beautiful reception to it, because even from watching the Bandito tour, which if anyone hasn't checked out, you need to check it out. It's a really unique thing that you're doing at the moment. You're kind of showing people what goes on behind the scenes and on stage. But the reason why I think Ned is unique is because when we talk about the concept of Trench, it's kind of slowly but surely leaving Buryface behind, and he's getting kind of engulfed and taken aside, whilst you realise that there's people there with you through the struggle. And I think that's the word I use, the struggle. And it just shows that even with Ned, he actually adds to coping with the struggle. It's not that it's not that when you get to the end of Trench and you hear that last line that's there, you know, they know what I mean. When you hear that line, it's not that you think, like, you know, now we're going to a new destination. It's that, no, we're not moving anywhere. We're just floating, but we've accepted that we have problems and that we can help each other.
Yeah.
And like, whether it be a cuddly toy or whether it be all the people from Trench, Yeah. You're together, and I think that's a beautiful symbolism.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, in, on one hand, we were pursuing that. We hope to accomplish something as grand as that. But on the other hand, I don't think that we quite knew how rewarding and amazing it was going to feel, and to watch our fans take that and run with it and land where, you know, we'd hoped they'd land, which is exactly what you just mentioned with the way that the record ends, and turning around and not completely discarding all the things that you struggled through and you may not love about yourself, but accepting that that's a part of who you are and learning how to adapt.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of the jumpsuit cover me and kind of showing that, you know, you can be protected in that environment, I think that's the theme that kind of carries us through the whole record. And you can see it more and more when you see your fans outside, and they technically are wearing their jumpsuits when they got their tape on. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a part in the Brixton show that I was wildly... Well, the whole show was an absolutely brilliant display, but there was a part I was wildly excited about, and that was, the backflip, which at some stage you're going to kill yourself. I can't wait for you to age a couple of years. You'd be like the Rolling Stones. You'd be like going up, going, oh, yeah, I can't wait to do this. But I hope you keep doing it, because I know you do conditioning. But B was when you move extortionately fast, Tyler, from main stage to another point in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen tonight in the three arena? I'd imagine that's going to be a difficult thing to accomplish if you were going to go for that.
Yeah, we like to keep the audience on their toes. There's a... I don't know. I think the way that Josh and I have always approached a show is, what would we want to see?
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to a show, if we're going to take a night out, you know, you have to consider traveling to a gig, parking, or, you know, public transit, all the stuff involved in actually deciding to, you know, buy the ticket, get there on time. It's a big commitment for all those people to come and see us. And so as we're developing the show, as we're putting it together, as we're coming up with not just playing the songs that they know, but also what can we do to show a little extra, you know, extra preparation, something a little more that makes that song more interesting than just watching us perform it. We're always looking for that, to make it worth that person's night to come in and be a part of it. And not only that, but we've always felt like the live show for us was... that's how we got where we are. We played a show, and we do think that people told people about that show, and then we go back and there's more people. And we can't ever settle then, though, because we have to constantly be
reinventing the wheel,
winning them over again.
Yeah.
You know, we have to win them over again so that the next time we come around, they come around and they bring someone.
I do find that with the Skeleton Clique, that they're different. Like, you've won awards for your fans. They're a different group of people than most people's fans. Like, these people are really investing your time, because technically, and I don't use this lightly, you've saved a lot of their lives. They listen to your music, they kind of go, look, maybe there's other people out there like me. And I think that's the one message, I think, that you've really managed to portray. And if that's the one thing that you achieved through your career, I think you can be very proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a heavy statement. We hear it every once in a while, and it's truly amazing for anyone to see anything that we've done as something that's helped them through something. I mean, that's what we look to music for, that, and to be able to be a part of that on the other side of it, and to create something. Really, what we're doing is we're hoping to just pass on that baton. You know, we want to inspire someone else to start creating, whether it's music or any form of art. It can really help other people that they show. Show people your art. You know, there was a time when I would write songs and I thought that was the beginning and the end of them, was just writing and then hiding. And it takes a little bit, and it takes a lot of you, but show people what you're working on. You never know what someone is going to take from it. And that's been a big surprise, is watching how people respond to it. So I encourage other people, if you're making art, show others.
Yeah. Well, long may it continue. Long may the creativity continue behind it. Josh, Tyler, been a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Fergal Darcy, Today FM.